Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most cowardly podcast network.
Hello and welcome to Scaredy Boys, a podcast where three cowardly friends discuss horror movies. I'm Damien.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Tom.
And for this episode, we watched Fright Night. Fright Night is a 2011 American horror film directed by Craig Gillespie and a remake of the 1985 film of the same name. It follows teenager Charlie Brewster, who discovers that his new neighbour, Jerry Dandridge, is a vampire responsible for a string of recent deaths. When no one he knows believes him, he enlists the help of Peter Vincent, a self-proclaimed vampire killer and Las Vegas magician, to help take him down.
Boys,
back to Fright Night.
Back. We've got to go to the police station, file a missing persons report. And the thing that is missing is the horny.
Yeah.
Where did it go?
Imagine making a movie in the 80s and it being somehow hornier.
No, that makes sense, though.
Like, it does, but also, like, the society would tell you that, oh, no, it's become more progressive. Also feels like it was okay with two men living together, whereas this movie has a couple of jokes in it that are bad.
Yeah, give him a familiar he's fucking, please.
Yes.
Bring that back.
Well, I guess they pivot it, because in that one he's just like being a vampire and he's got a familiar, whereas in this one you learn that Jerry is creating an army.
Yeah.
Don't love that as much.
No, like the first one, he's obviously a charming, seducturing vampire.
Yep.
This one, he feels just kind of jockey.
He feels dangerous.
Yeah. He's a predator.
He's way more dangerous than old mate from the original.
Because also he goes from 0 to 100 in about 30 seconds.
Yeah. It shares that DNA that it escalates and then it doesn't stop.
Yes.
It's great. Yeah. I should say I really enjoyed the movie.
I enjoy the remake too. I love it.
Yeah. But having now watched the original, I'm like, oh, that movie's off its dick good.
Yeah.
And this is just like a very satisfying horror thriller. Love it.
I will say this. Anton Yelchin is so much better.
Oh, yeah.
Charlie.
That's
tragic, and really, because fuck, he was talented.
It's insane, right?
Yeah.
You said it during it that he would have been a great Peter Parker.
Oh, yeah.
You're right, Dan.
Yeah.
He fucking... I've now watched a couple of movies of his recently, and you're just like, man, he's good.
Yep. Mm.
He's just good.
He elevates, like we said, he was the far better Charlie, because he elevated the character. Like, you actually cared about his character. The first one, I didn't give a fuck about the Charlie character.
I was worried about Roddy McDowall.
They nailed the Charlie in this, and Ed. Ed's really good in this too.
Ed's very
good,
whereas
Ed's fucking insipid in that first one.
It's a nice angle to take, to make Charlie has left his, like, nerdy friends behind.
Right,
Because they are nerds. They've, like, the idea that him and the other guy, Adam, have been spending ages tracking what they believe is a vampire. And Ed finally, he's been trying to tell Charlie, but Charlie's
too cool for him.
Too cool.
Yeah.
Got a girlfriend now.
Got a girlfriend. Imogen Poots, who I fucking love too.
She's great.
Yeah.
I've realized just, you know, after watching this and logging it, that, like, she's in my top four, like, actors on the box for this year.
Yeah, she pops up in heaps of stuff.
She's in heaps of stuff. Yeah. And she's always just like, she's always good. On.
Yeah.
I've never seen a movie with her in it where I've gone, oh, yeah, she's funny.
Yeah. But just to go back to the Ed character, like, to give us empathy for him, that he's a jilted friend who literally, like, Charlie's a bit of a dog. Like, he literally, like, wherein it almost feels like the Mark character, played by
Dave Franco
could have been the Ed. Like, that character could have been the Ed, where he's just kind of a bit spiteful, he's a bully, he's mean.
Yeah.
But yeah, having someone who's been hurt, and, you know, it's very relatable. I'm sure we've all had a friend who kind of has gone off to other circles and been like, I don't really understand what happened there, you know?
Yeah. It's a nice thing of, like, teenagerdom, where, like, you get to a point where you're like, oh, the things that I... Like, I'm 30 and it's only taken me, like, recently to be like, Tom, it's okay to just unabashedly enjoy something.
Yeah.
And again, I am 30.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it's such a weird thing that is drilled into us at like 14 that,
yeah.
Oh no, you can't like stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
If you enjoy that, fuck, don't like stuff.
I'm really glad, Tom, that you now really enjoy just loving horny movies. Yeah, glad that you can do that now as a 30-year-old man.
Yeah.
I need to tell you a secret, Sean. I never stopped.
But I agree. Like, yeah, it's like you should be able to just be passionate about something and also not have to justify it. No. I just like it. I don't care. I like it. I love it.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so it is that. And it's very relatable, that thing of you get, like, yeah, Charlie's a dog. Mm. He wants to understand what he's doing because, like, you've been there or people you know have been there or, like, you've had that moment of, like, oh, no, I don't want people thinking I like that anymore.
Mm.
I fucking love Pokemon still, so.
There you go. Damo, you said while watching it that this movie's good because it actually remembers that Charlie's the protagonist.
Yes.
Whereas the other one got fucking bamboozled by horniness and two absolute stars just going at it that it just forgot about Charlie.
Yeah. And then, like, those two are bouncing off each other like no one's business.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and Anton Yelchin definitely helps ground it, but it keeps him in forefront. Like, he's actually taking risks and taking chances. Like, the scene I really loved was when he went to go meet Peter Vincent for the first time. And, you know, he dressed up in a bit of a suit. Yep. He gets the newspaper. Makes a little fake badge. Very good. Very fun and clever, which we need for this character. We need to feel like he's making smart choices. Where in the first one, he never, like, I don't really feel like he went to the police and he went to his friends and blah, blah, blah. But he never really was like took control of it. He was always reactionary.
Yeah.
This one, it feels like he's really given it a good shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. He also, like, he steps up hugely. Whereas I will say this, yeah, in the original one, as great as Sarandon that is, Brewster at the end of that, he kind of, like, does a little bit of a fight, but it's mostly kind of Vincent and he kind of helps a bit. But in this one, he's the one who makes the big play. He's the one who's tools up, kits up, goes in. He's ready to fucking fight this guy.
He's got his fire suit on.
That is
great.
Such a great touch. Yeah. Just that set him on fire, it confuses vampires, and then him being like, how do I stab him in the heart when he's on fire?
Yeah.
It's like, of course the magician, stuntman, psychopath guy has a suit that is flame resistant.
Yeah. It's great. Little great touches. I also really like the difference in this. So you've got Toni Collette, who's awesome, and she's playing the mum. And they have that kind of typical scene where a mum would sort of not believe the kid, and the kid would get in trouble, and Jerry's trying to trick her and say, oh, your son's harassing me, blah, blah, blah. And she just has that moment where she's like, nah, go get a warrant. Go get the cops. She defends her son. And then I think the film suffers a little bit by just like having her pass out. And then she's in a hospital bed and they sideline her.
Yeah.
Would have been more interesting if it was like Charlie and his mum and his girlfriend trying to save the day.
I agree. She's part of the team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe that's because Toni Collette's so fucking good.
Yeah, she would steal the show.
If it had been someone else just playing a mum character. But she plays it so well and is quite funny as well.
But that beat is great. Like, it's such a subversion of what we expect from these films. Like, we've even talked about teenagers in films, how their parents are basically absent or just straight up don't believe them.
Yeah.
So to have that subversion and then also have the ramification that this guy is such a psycho that he just goes, pulls up the gas line, lights a fire, and literally blows up their house. Like, I love it. One, because I love the escalation. I think it's more movies just fucking should go for it. It's so great. Yeah. You get more story out of it, more interesting story. But also, the mum stands by him. So he's like, all right, well, fuck that. I'm just going to burn their fucking house.
And it raises the stakes again because now it's like, well, he's full mask off and we're only at the halfway point.
Yeah.
Oh, so you've got to go a lot fucking quicker now.
Yeah.
Like, you can't skulk around. You need to get fucking organized because he's not even hiding it. No. Like, he was barely hiding it to start with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just that great, great fucking scene where Ed's told him, you know, he's a vampire. Charlie doesn't believe him. And then Ed's not at school.
Mm.
And he kind of does a reset. And then he sees the video of Jerry getting out of the car and there's no one there. And he's like, holy shit. All right, it's real. He's real.
Yeah.
And then he runs into Jerry and Jerry's like, oh, can I borrow a six pack?
Hey, guy.
Oh, it's so... Yeah. Colin Farrell gets what he's doing.
He's threatening, but he's never sexy, I think.
No, but I don't think he tries to be.
Yeah, which is a bit disappointing. But
I agree. I prefer the cunning vampire. I find it more interesting where he is a predator.
Yeah.
He is just, like you said, he's barely got the mask on. He's ready to get rid of it as soon as, like, whatever. I'm a fucking vampire. Yeah. No one's going to stop me.
What's that? You think you can beat 500 years of survival?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, what did you think was going to... Like, but I think I like that because it would be so easy, and we learned talking about it, that Farrell is a big fan of the first one.
Yeah.
But, like, it would be so easy for him to just to do a Sarandon. And it wouldn't be as good because Sarandon is Sarandon.
Yeah. Mm.
So he has to do a different Jerry in the same way that Yelchin has to do a different Brewster and David Tennant has to do a different Peter Vincent, yep. and the mum is a different mum.
Same way the director has to do a different movie.
Yes. Yeah,
like, yeah. this is very, like, 3D era, post-3D conversion, yeah, yeah. Oh where God. Just, like, random shit is just flung at the screen.
What a shit few years that
yes.
was.
Yeah. Yeah, but this movie has no interest in being horny.
No.
Or camp.
No.
That's the
no.
other thing we're missing.
So, yeah, and that's what I'm missing. We kind of were discussing this before the recording. The camp and the horny, which obviously go a bit hand in hand.
Yeah.
But that's what I love the campness of the first one. I think it's fucking great.
Mm-hmm.
With this, yeah, it's 2011. It's so of its time. No, all of that has been stripped away completely.
Yeah. This is a dirty film, whereas the other one sort of is more vibrant and colourful.
Yeah. I've got a few Farrell facts for you.
Oh, yes.
So I was looking up some fun facts. All of them happen to be around Colin Farrell because he's an interesting dude. So one is that he expressed concerns that his character was too much of a sexual predator and suggested script changes.
Okay.
No changes were made.
Oh wow. I guess because in this one, he just seduces Amy, whereas not be, and it's not like, oh, she's the bride of my, she looks like my long lost love. He just seduces her to be like, fuck you, Charlie.
Yeah. This is just a pedo.
Yeah.
Another one was that he found this role particularly hard to play because he said it's one of the hardest of his career because Jerry has no soul, so there weren't any aspects of humanity he could use to ground his performance.
Mm.
That's really...
I love that.
That's really good. Because at least... That's true, though, because Chris Sarandon's Jerry even has that brief line where he's like, I have no choice. This is just who I am.
Yeah.
Whereas this Jerry's just like, oh, no, I'm teeth.
Yeah,
I'm
just
teeth and appetite.
Yeah. And even like Chris Sarandon's character, his version of it... He does have Bill, and like he's like there that moment where he's got his arm around Bill. You're like, he does care about this other person,
And they smile and they joke together and they have fun. He seems human, whereas Colin Farrell's just an animal, really.
Right, and again, this is where taking the Bill character out of it, the campness out of it, even the horny out of it.
Yeah,
there's nothing left. There is no humanity left now. He's just a beast.
Hmm.
Which I guess is, you know, yes, you lose some of those elements, but it does mean that you then have to, you know, get cracking because then he blows up the house.
Yep.
So, like, he's more inventive and way more dangerous.
I love the house thing so much.
It's so good.
Just like, nah, you can't get us because we won't invite you in. So, just rips the gas line.
Just when he's like, can't invite me in if there's no house.
Yeah,
it's great. No time for it.
Yeah. Even his turning of Ed isn't sympathetic. He's just like, come on, this is all that's coming. You know this is coming. What come on.
Yeah. And then similarly when Ed faces them in the in Vegas in the penthouse, like he's like, you let this happen to me. Like he knows this isn't a good state to be in. He's not psyched to be a vampire.
The relief when he dies.
Oh, it's okay, Charlie. It's okay.
Oh, it's really okay. Nice.
It's just sad that Ed dies and fucking Franco survives.
Oh, tell me about it, dude.
If anyone deserved to be ripped apart, it was Dave Franco in this movie.
Yeah. So another Farrell fact. So he actually requested a monologue in Latin because he thought it would be more menacing. So he even went out of his way and obtained a Latin tutor to teach him a monologue to do and study the language on set.
Yep.
Monologue never made it to screen. However, the Latin tutor was so fascinated by Farrell that she actually wrote a scholarly article detailing her time on set.
Wow.
That is incredible.
What I'm hearing here is Colin Farrell loves the original probably and wanted to do something with a bit of substance. And at every turn, they were like, no.
Yeah.
So I feel for him.
Yeah.
He really wanted to have a crack.
We want stuff to fly at the screen because Avatar did well.
Yeah.
7 years ago.
No time for your Latin monologue. We just need to throw some blood at the screen.
Right. So we've got one more fact that will make you feel better for him.
Okay.
Which is that in an interview, he said referred to this movie as the greatest success of his career because it led to his mother meeting her second husband, the friend of a producer who met her on set.
He's a fucking good boy.
Oh,
he's a good boy.
Colin Farrell.
Wrapped in a bad boy.
Oh, yeah.
Has he done?
I don't know what he's done. I think he's got that image.
I know he's
I don't know. I've done no research here.
I know there's a sex tape.
Okay.
Like a leaked sex tape. If you want to see Colin Farrell's dick, you can.
All right.
Like, just put it out there.
Thank you.
But I don't think, like, as far as I'm aware, and I'm not going to say anymore.
Yeah.
Because there's probably someone listening to this being like, Tom, remember when he shot that bus full of orphans?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no.
Let's just say, based on that story,
that's
really lovely.
Yeah, that's fucking great.
I just love that he cared about the craft of this film. He really wanted to give it the best he could.
Yeah.
And also, he's happy his mum's happy.
All
those facts are nice facts.
Good boy. Good Irish boy.
Yeah.
Do you know what would have made the film better if he was Irish?
Be interesting.
I think I would have liked it more.
Just speaking in, maybe he doesn't speak Latin, but he speaks in Celtic.
Right. Ooh, Gaelic.
Yeah.
He's like a Gaelic vampire from like beyond time.
Awesome.
As well as like most vampires do have that. Obviously, it's usually Romanian, Transylvanian. Yeah. Like there is that foreign element to them. So keep that, but have it Irish. I think there's something interesting there.
It's a thing when Vincent's explaining, he's from the Mediterranean. He's got this type. What I like about that logic is it's like there's more than one.
Mm.
Like there's other kinds of vampires. One that's like, yeah, these ones, they live underground, live for 500 years and kill you slowly.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the Peter Vincent character. So obviously, big rip off of Chris Angel.
Yes.
Which is good. I like that. I like the Vegas-ness of it as well.
Because he's just shit.
Yeah, he's shit.
It's a thing of like anytime you hear about like a performer doing like a Vegas thing and they're in Vegas for like, those contracts are like 8 years long.
Right.
And they're usually towards the end of their career and they're usually just like, this person has a Vegas residency. It pays well, but you do it so you can just earn a fuckload of money and you don't have to do anything else.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so it's like, oh yeah, that's perfect. Mm. This even the bit where they walk back from the set and he's just slowly like taking all the things off.
Yeah, yeah.
Pulling the magic out, pulling their hair off, like scrubbing the tattoos off his neck.
Yeah, yeah.
Drinking Maduri.
Yeah. Drinking gallons of Maduri.
Nothing about him is real.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
And I like it too because obviously for the first one, as we talked about in the last episode, they went with the Vincent Price character because that's who a teenager of that time would go to.
Yep.
But there is no Vincent Price character on TV anymore. So it makes sense that this modern era, you're not going to have that. So you're going to have Chris Angel. However, my question to you boys is, this was 2011. That's 10 years ago now.
Yep.
Chris, there's no teenager today who's going, oh, I'll call up Chris Angel. Who would they go to today?
They would go to the Scaredy Boys podcast. No. I think they'd go to it'd be a podcaster for sure. Like a
true crime, like a true supernatural crime, true crime. Supernatural,
100% a podcaster. Yeah, okay. Or like a Instagram influencer who's like into like cool spooky shit.
Yeah.
What's like the last big vampire movie?
Like a Twilight or a...
Yeah.
That's like I'm trying to think. We haven't had a Dracula for... Mm. Oh, we had Dracula Untold, but that wasn't really...
That didn't really splash.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Someone like a Kate Beckinsale type. Like someone who's in series of like underworld movies, launched their career, and is trying to go legit.
Yeah.
So an actor.
Yeah.
Like the Roddy McDowell. So, but instead of being washed up, they're just like, they're wanting to win Oscars.
Yeah.
Fuck, you know, it's The Rock or Vin Diesel. Mm.
I've got another take on it. It's a bit different. It's not really using the washed upness, but... I like the idea of having Sarah Michelle Gellar, Buffy, playing Sarah Michelle Gellar. She is just Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Right, that's good.
That is someone good. Goes to Sarah Michelle Gellar, like, she's like, it was a TV show, man.
And because everything like 90s is, you know, back in the people watching streaming services. Oh, that's good. Going to Buffy. That's
how you do a Fright Night reboot.
Yeah. And but have her as
Sarah as herself.
Yeah.
And Freddie Prinze is in there too.
Do you gender flip it? So Charlie is a girl.
Mm.
Sure.
And
Still called Charlie.
Amy could still be her best friend or it could be her girlfriend, whatever you want to do with it.
Yeah.
And then you make the vampire next door. Do you make the vampire next door a woman or do you keep it as a Jerry?
You could. They've done that as well with, I think, Fright Night 2.
They've made, this sequel was made
Jerry
over
is
in...
a female vampire, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, and it was over in Europe somewhere it was set.
Yep. Well, no, so the both sequels to both Fright Night. So the 1980s sequel is about a woman named Regina...
Okay.
Who is, I think, the daughter of Jerry.
Okay.
And then the sequel to this, called like Friday Night 2, Rain of Blood or some shit
New
that,
Blood, I think it is.
Set in the Czech Republic and Jerry is Jerry G.
With the G.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Jerry with a G.
Girl.
Yeah.
Oh, Sarah Michelle, that's good, man.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah, I'm jazzed for that.
And then you have like, it's a dad instead of a mum and it's like he works like nights or some shit.
Yep. Bring the horniness back in.
Bring the horniness
Bring the camp.
Bring
like a bit of silliness.
Yeah.
I like the idea of Freddie Prinze playing himself as well.
Yeah.
And just being like her assistant, just helping her.
Yeah.
What do you need? I'm carrying the weapons. I'm driving the car.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Just being a good husband.
Yeah.
And that's it. Can't you like, you lose the washed upness because.
Yeah, nah.
You like the Vincent Price, the original.
We've done it twice.
Version. Yeah. Well, the original version nailed it. This one was still really good. David Tennant was very good. He was having a lot of fun on set. Yeah.
Him and Colin Farrell roll into this movie. It's similar to, again, Jerry and Peter in the last one roll into this movie being like, oh, we know what we're doing. This is what we're doing.
Yeah.
He just has a ball. I reckon they've watched that and then been like, do you want to do a slightly watered down version of that for Good Omens?
Yeah.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right, boys. Were we scared?
Nah. There's some tense moments. That bit where he's sneaking into, he gets locked in the house and he's trying to get the girl out.
Yeah. Oh, bear in mind, Tom and I have both seen it before. Yeah. I don't recall really being scared the first time either.
No.
Entertained.
Yeah, very entertained.
Definitely.
But I mean, it's such a Hollywood movie as well that it's not really like, it's not really played for scares, I would say.
No, it's played for action. It's an action horror as opposed to a comedy horror.
I think they want to be scary. It's just kind of not.
Yeah, and
they're too busy throwing shit at your face.
It's the 3D shit and it's the CGI shit when, like, in the past, obviously, it's fucking wild prosthetics, which is somehow way better.
Are you guys excited for when Avatar 2 comes out, this whole fucking trend kicks off again for a little bit?
I don't know if it will.
Hmm.
Is Avatar 2 going to be in 3D? It is.
I think it will be, but again, it's
I
don't know
3D.
If we'll be fooled again. Yeah. Well, I certainly won't pay extra for any other 3D shit. Yeah. I probably would for Avatar just because it's the way he's chosen to film it.
But right.
Fuck. Hopefully he's the only one.
I reckon the last 3D movie I can remember that was genuinely supposed to be 3D was probably maybe Rogue One.
I don't even remember. I remember seeing Hugo in 3D and thinking, oh yeah, that snow looked cool.
Yeah.
Other than that, like, it's just like a forgotten thing.
It
might
have been actually a Jurassic Park re-release at IMAX.
Yeah.
As Jurassic World was coming out.
Yeah, fuck.
Every Marvel movie was 3D. Now they're just not.
Yeah. Good. It's for the best.
Get rid of it. For the best. It's unnecessary. And it definitely didn't add any scares.
No. It's weird watching it without glasses on DVD. Just being like, oh, this is shit. Like, just anytime something like that happened, it actually pulls you out of the movie.
Yeah, right. It's distracting.
You remember that, oh, that's what they're trying to do.
It emphasizes some weird little moment in the film that doesn't need to happen.
Yeah.
There were two moments of the 3D where I was like, oh, that works. And one of them is when Charlie shoots an arrow at Colin Farrell and he just catches it. It's like, you're not going to kill him. He's just too good. And the other one is where it shows the blood dropping out of David Tennant's hand onto the ground. And it's like, oh, yeah. And you get that shot is really cool of all the arms coming out of the dirt under the house.
Yeah, that was very creepy. That was pretty creepy,
It was very good.
Yeah. But yeah, otherwise, I couldn't say I was all that scared. If anything, like, we watched this. We almost watched it as a chaser. Like, we paired this with a movie that was scarier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck. It was good, though.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah, the only bit of genuine tension is that bit where he's sneaking out of the house. And even then, it's nullified by the horrific thing that happens when he gets out and she vaporizes in the sun.
Oh, yeah. It's awful. Yeah. But it's a great shot.
Jerry watching them walk
big
out.
Big old prick.
Just like, yeah, you fucking idiot.
Yeah. All right, did our characters act wisely or foolishly?
I'm always critical of that initial thing. So it's when Jerry's like, hey, guy, can I borrow a sixer? And then he takes it in. And Charlie just acts so dodgy. Like, Jerry probably already knows that he knows, maybe, I don't know. But it's just like, it's so obvious that he does.
Super obvious.
That scene I was talking about before, we got distracted on. That scene is so great where he just, like, Colin Farrell goes to kind of walk in and starts talking about the kitchen in the hope that
he
can't
reach past the door line and he's handing him the beers. But yeah, it is so obvious. So in that moment, I'm kind of like, oh, you're really obvious that you know something's up.
Yeah.
He'd probably be okay if he doesn't drop the beer. Dropping the beer and then being like, can I help? And he'd be like, no.
Yeah.
And then Jerry being like, And it's, it's just that as he goes to hand him the beer, just pulling it back. It's
yeah.
Like, don't do that. You've already confirmed.
You don't need a test, but
he hasn't come in to help you. He's standing at the door.
The little pull back is insane by him. But also, he's a teenager and there's a vampire next door and he's shitting himself.
That's right.
So, like,
and again, like how I said, like he would have played a great Spider-Man. That's such a Peter Parker move.
I mean, Jerry's too having a little bit too much fun. Like, he brings about his own demise.
Yeah.
Could have easily just killed Charlie.
Yeah.
And he'd still be building his fucking army right
that's
now.
That's it. Yeah. That's
true. But I think he's been around for 500 years in the same way that Sarandon toys with Charlie, too.
Yeah. I think it's just a vampire thing.
I'm invincible. What the fuck are you going
to do?
How are you going to stop 500 years of survival?
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
By lighting yourself on fire.
Yeah. Okay.
Stabbing through the chest.
Okay, then.
I think, you know, Charlie's decision to go to Vegas, talk to Peter Vincent.
Yep.
We're very aware of the sunset going down and stuff like that, which I think is cool. There's always like a ticking clock on. I've got the daylight to figure this out. Oh, no, fuck. And then it escalates and they get on the road and they go back to Vegas again. I think they make all the right sort of choices.
Yeah, like Charlie, like I said, he's very proactive.
Once he learns the information.
Yeah, compared to the first, like even getting his mum and Amy out of there and on the road and like he literally is trying to do everything right.
Yeah.
And yeah, going to David Tennant and the way he sneaks up to him and tells all that he's playing as best as he possibly can. It's impossible circumstances.
Yeah.
What works in his favor is that vampire is so dumb that he just like, ah, who cares if anyone knows I'm a vampire? And shows his, because that actually takes away the, oh, I've got to try to convince people of this impossible fact.
Yeah. Yeah, I get the movie doesn't dwell on that at all, does it? It doesn't spend time like, there's a way to do it with this story where, it could very much be like, oh, that kid's crazy, but it never really gives you the time to do that. And Jerry's whole thing kind of could be, I've just moved into this neighborhood. Mm. I need to keep my secret.
Yeah.
But he's just like chowing down on people in the street.
To be fair, you learned from Ed that the disappearance has been going on for months. So he's new to the neighborhood, but he's been around for ages.
Yeah.
And he's also in a, like, there's so many people missing and there's so many abandoned houses in that little area. Like, it's like, oh no, he's been doing it for a while. And also, who's going to stop him?
Mm.
Even that bit where, like, you have that great little bit where Charlie does try to call the cops, and it's that throwaway line later. He's like, "Yeah, they almost all went to Chili's together." Just because, he reports that he heard someone screaming, and then Colin Farrell's like, "Yeah, you bet she was," and the cops are like, "Oh yeah." Basically, this movie also says ACAB, and I respect it.
I did love that scene though. Like the efficiency of that scene is really great. That literally we get three beats: we get him calling the cops pulling up, that line you just mentioned, and then they're gone.
Yeah,
and then I think maybe he sees him in the window. Well, he would know anyway that it was Charlie.
So that's call cops. Tick.
Yeah.
Crossed out.
We've tried that obvious thing. You got to try it. If you didn't try it, we'd think you're an idiot for not calling the cops.
Yeah.
Didn't work. Great. Mm-hmm. We can move on to the next thing.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, on that, what would we do?
I think we're better. I'm not as attracted to Colin Farrell as I am to Chris Sarandon.
No. Oh, definitely.
Yeah. So
I'm intimidated. I'm scared. So.
The only worry I have for you, Tom, is that Colin Farrell's got real shark eyes, I reckon.
Yeah.
And you are a shark boy.
Oh, you are a shark boy.
He's like, would you like to be a shark forever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Swim, little boy, swim.
No, look, I think I'm okay. I don't think I betrayed you this week.
Yeah, look, I don't think that's our threat this week. This is, again, the difference. Luckily, like, there is enough differences between the two. It's this just that he's such a predator. Like, he's willing to blow up a fucking house. Like, that's a tough one to beat.
He's prepared to just break rules. The other thing I want to point out to the three of us is the way the invitation thing works in vampire lore is it's, you know, the owner of the home. We all rent.
Yeah.
So if he was smart, he would go to our landlords and pretend to be like a builder. A builder or an inspector of, you know, the fire alarms, and we give him permission. They give him permission to come in.
Is it the owner or the occupant?
No, it doesn't actually specify in this one, but in the first one, they do say home owner.
Yeah. Well, in this, we all live in the same house.
Yeah. But there's no fucking way we can afford a house.
Burn his fucking house down.
Burn it down?
Burn his house down.
Burn Jerry's house down.
Yeah. In the morning, light it up, burn it.
Gas line him.
Actually, probably blow it up is better than just lighting it on fire.
You're right. Like, as soon as day comes, literally like go to town on the roof.
Yep.
Like start pulling off tiles.
Yeah. All day, you could just be picking it apart.
If you literally go up to take off all the tiles, then start setting up for it to explode.
Yeah.
Even if he does wake up and come up, cool. We've got nothing but sunlight streaming in here through.
You've just got to plan it out so you can get everything done in the daylight hours. You've got one shot at it.
They are clever in this one in that they go in the daylight. They're like, they wait till it's till dawn,
yeah,
and then they go.
The only problem is, so he's built underground into his house, so it's like blowing it up. Is there? My idea with blowing it up is flush him out into the sunlight, then he's fucked.
Yeah,
yeah.
But he could probably get down low enough, maybe bunker in, even if you destroy his house. That's an issue.
Another benefit we have, we've got a few extra hands on board. We've got Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Yeah,
we've got
Freddie Prinze Jr. Freddie
Prinze Jr. So, like, honestly, I think if you just like. You can demolish a house in a day.
Yeah.
If we get like a, what do you call these things?
Yeah, a bulldozer.
An excavator.
We get an excavator, we get a bulldozer. Yeah.
And then
just tear it down.
Even if you raise the house, right, you still got the basement level, big slab of concrete over the basement. He's not getting through that.
Oh, seal him in.
Yeah.
But I reckon you just get the sun on him throughout the day. Like, how much further down can he go? He's going to dig into the mud. Like,
true. It does take him a while to dig that because I think he's been working on that project for months.
Yeah, he's just hide down in the dirt. I don't know. I just think it's going so low.
But the sunlight does get to it.
I like the concreting him in.
Mm.
Then the issue is,
how strong is he though? Like, you see him digging in the backyard and he's ripping up like chunks of...
Yeah, I imagine he's pretty strong, but I feel like concreting him in is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, how long can he go without feeding?
All right, starve him out.
Starve him out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we just do all these things anyway and then just move.
Yeah.
Like, have the car packed and ready to go. Do all the shit to the house, and then we just move anyway. Like, he'll never find us if he does get out of whatever the fuck we do to him.
Yeah, but then, boys, like, I feel like...
we can't move, can we?
No, we've got to destroy him. So I think burning the house down or even trapping him forever.
Yep.
Selling that plot of land to Sarah Michelle Gellar and Freddie Prinze Jr. They own it indefinitely.
Yeah.
They are the landlords of it.
Yeah.
Or do we do some, like, legal wrangling, get someone else to buy that, the Gellar... Prinze Jr.'s, to buy the house out from under him and then rescind his invitation.
What happens then?
Surely he can't then enter the house.
Mm. Yeah.
I've watched True Blood. I'm pretty sure if you rescind the invitation based on that show, they get like thrown bodily out of the house by an unseen force.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
No, that's confirmed. Have seen that.
Yeah.
What if we seduce him? What if we destroy him by more traditional?
I don't think he's got no humanity. I don't think he's seductive.
All right. Instead of destroying his house, then we build a room in our house and we invite him in. We get him in that room. We lock him in. We light him on fire. It's a hot box. And then we've also created stake guns.
Yeah.
And we just fire stakes into it.
Yep.
Also, mirror room, sunlight coming in.
Oh, bang.
Great. A mirror room that can also be set on fire.
Yep.
And we have like stake guns lined up everywhere. Yeah. We're just shooting him.
Yep.
Fuck him up.
Yeah. Again, like he's such a big predator. We've got to have a big answer. We've got to have a big response.
Yeah, I like this. I like this kill box.
Yeah.
A little kill box. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great. And we get to do some home renos with Sarah Michelle Gellar and... Yeah.
Freddie Prinze Jr.
Or he comes to the door. Would this work? He comes to the door. I open it. He's there. Hey, guy. And then I duck, and behind me, you just got a stake gun.
Bam. Yeah, I mean, that's simpler. But I do love the idea of Bill having a nice little home reno project with a...
Yeah, firebox. It's nice to do stuff with your hands.
Yeah, it's good. Guys, it's good to have a project.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'd respect it. He's a builder.
He's a builder.
Yeah. He's handsy.
Yeah.
Fuck him up. He's a predator. We got to get this motherfucker off the street. Off the street and into our kill box.
Yep. I'm happy to be bait because I know that'd be
role. There was no doubt in my
mind.
Yeah.
That's silent agreement. Just pass through all of us before you started pitching this idea.
You're in the kill box. We do a little trap door where he comes in and goes for you and you're out. I'm out of there. You land on a cushion underneath. Yep. It's like The Prestige. You're Hugh Jackman. You're standing up taking a bow.
Yeah.
Or you can hear him on fire.
Yeah, he's the man in the box and I'm The Prestige.
Oh, beautiful.
Well, that is all the scary talk we have for this episode. I've been Damien.
I've been Sean.
I've been Tom.
And if you scary listeners would like to suggest a movie or just say hi, you can email us at 3scaredboys@gmail.com or you can find us on Twitter at @scaredyboys or individually, I'm at @middaypyjamas.
I'm at @carney from 55.
I'm an awkward treat.
Stay scared, everyone.
Give him a familiar he's fucking, please.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.